خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونزلنا عليك الكتاب تبيانا لكل شيء وهدى ورحمة وبشرى للمسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. We begin with Allah's blessed name. We praise Him and we glorify Him as He ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all His noble messengers, and in particular on the last of them all, the Blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And I greet you here at Masjid Kulsum in Mombasa with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is indeed the last talk that I have, and even though the numbers in the masjid are very, very few, never mind, because the recording goes to lots and lots and lots of people around the world, and we thank Allah for that. Our subject is the Messiah or Al-Masih and the Imam. But it can also apply to Islam and Christianity in Africa. Islam and Christianity in Africa. The Messiah, of course, is someone who is located in the Quran. And he is Nabi Isa alayhi salam. All of us know that. Nabi Isa alayhi salam, who is the son of Maryam alayhi salam, that Nabi Isa. But before we begin the topic proper, there are those who are finding it difficult to understand my lectures on this subject. And because of an inadequate study of the Quran, and also because of lack of proper methodology for studying the Quran, they seem to be in a state of confusion and are trying to rebut me. And therefore, let us begin by saying that while there are ayat muhkamat in the Quran, which are plain and clear, and ayat mutashabihat in the Quran, which have to be interpreted, when something is plain and clear in the Quran, you have no option but to submit to it. And when something is interpreted, then of course we must have the wisdom and the good sense to say Allah knows best. And you do not pick up boxing gloves over ayat mutashabihat. So once it is plain and clear in the Quran, you have to submit to it. No two ways about it. And here is an ayah of the Quran with which we commence, and it is in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And I'm speaking in particular to that audience around the world who will be listening to this lecture. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سورة المائدة لكل جعلنا منكم شرعة ومنهاجا. To each of you, meaning to each ummah. And an ummah is a religious community which follows a Nabi. To each of you, we have given a Sharia, which is the law, the rules, the regulations, and minhaj, a way of life. Deen, of course, is one for everybody. But Sharia is different for this ummah there is a sharia, and for that ummah there is a sharia. For this ummah there is a minhaj, and for that ummah there is a minhaj. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لِكُلٍّ جَعَلَ مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. And if Allah had so desired, He could have caused you all to be in one ummah. But that is not His desire. Walakin, meaning He has not caused us to be in one ummah. That is not His plan. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. He has caused you to be in different ummah. Not that you should pick up boxing gloves to fight with each other. This one going to the Bible with a sword in his hand to pick out everything he could get that is bad and to win the debate. And that one picking up the sword and going to the Quran and going to the Sunnah to find anything he could criticize so he could win the debate. No, this is not why Allah has created us as different communities, as different ummahs. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. He has given you this multiplicity, several different ummahs, with different sharia, with different minhaj, to test you. It is a test in respect of what has been given to you and to you and to you and to you. Then he says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Don't pick up boxing gloves for each other. No. Compete with each other, vie with each other in what is good. Race with each other for what is good, not boxing gloves with each other. It is something sad, painful, and tragic that we now have a kind of Islamic scholarship that is confined to boxing gloves and want to specialize in the Bible and in the Hindu Vedas and this and that and the other to find out all that they can find which is bad, and then to point out that we are superior to them. That is not what Allah wants. And if you turn away from Allah's guidance here and you go towards the boxing gloves, wait, I'm warning you, and see what Allah will do with you. إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Allah says, you will all return to me. Who is he talking about when he says all? He's not talking only about this ummah. He's not saying that all of mankind will enter into one ummah. No. He's saying that you will all, meaning people belonging to different ummahs, with different sharia, all of you will return to me. And so history will not end with all of mankind entering into the ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. This is wrong. This is dangerously wrong. And you are in conflict with the Quran. So be careful, be careful. إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا. All of you will return to me. فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. And when you return to me, I will then explain the matters wherein you differed with each other. So you don't have to pick up boxing gloves to fight with each other. And you do not have to declare this falsehood that all of mankind are going to enter into the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's how history will end. That is false. That is in conflict with the Quran. Not only in this ayah of the Quran, but in several other ayat of the Quran, Allah repeats it. He says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. If Allah had so desired, He could have caused all of mankind to be in one ummah. He did not do it. He does not want it. But you want to do it? What nonsense is this? So having explained this important point of the Quran, let us now turn to our topic on the Messiah and the Imam. And of course, we have a limited amount of time, so we have to be short. The Messiah, of course, is Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And the term Messiah is in the Quran, and it came into the Quran in consequence of the collapse of Holy Israel. Holy Israel was the ruling state in the world. Nabi Dawood alayhi salam established it. We call it the Khilafah state. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam inherited it. And you know already what Allah has said about the jasad. I don't have to repeat it. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam made the dua, La yambagi li ahadin min ba'd. Wahabli mulkan. La yambagi li ahadin min ba'di. I do not want that anyone should be able to inherit my kingdom after me. And I do not want that there should ever be another kingdom like mine. Why? Because of that jasad sitting on the throne that he saw in the vision. We don't have the time to explain that today, no. But we've done it in other lectures. That jasad, of course, we have said is Dajjal. And when we interpret the Quran, no need to fight over it. It's our interpretation. And we say Allah knows best. If it is the truth, it will prevail. No one can stop it. None. And if it's not the truth, it will go down the river. So when Holy Israel collapsed, they did not know why it collapsed. Up to this day, they don't know why. And they were broken-hearted. We know why it collapsed, because Allah explained in the Quran. It was in that context of Banu Israel broken-hearted, because the holy state has collapsed, they were ruling the world, and now it's all finished, that the promise of a Messiah was given, that he would be someone to send to you. He's not sent to all of mankind. He's most certainly not sent to the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He's sent to Banu Israel. Ya Bani Israel, Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum. I am the messenger of Allah to you. Rasulan ila Bani Israel, a messenger of Allah to Banu Israel. So the Messiah is sent to them, not to us, not to the rest of mankind. This is the Quran. And be careful to change the Quran. Be careful. You cannot bring hadith to change the Quran. The Messiah was sent to Banu Israel. Allah has never changed that. So when he comes back, is he going to come back to the American people? Or to the British, or to the French, or to the Chinese? No, what is in the Quran remains in the Quran. When he returns, he is returning to them, to Banu Israel. But Allah speaks in the Quran about the return of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And we need to spend a little time on this. Allah says, وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابِ. And Allah will teach him the Quran. This is the first thing mentioned. Allah will teach him the Quran. But how will Allah teach him the Quran when the Quran has not yet been revealed? Doesn't make sense. So this does not apply to the first time he was here. 600 years before Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. This applies to when he is coming back. That's how the ayah begins. Be careful when you analyze the Quran. Be careful. So Allah is going to teach him the Quran for when he comes back to this world. Why? He is a Nabi. And if Allah appoints someone as a Nabi, do we have the authority to dismiss him? It's funny because I get this feedback. Oh no, no, when he comes back, he's not coming back as a Nabi. Be careful. Be very careful. If something is in the Quran, you can't change it. This is a rash, this is a reckless statement. Allah appointed him as a Nabi. Only Allah can change that, not you. So don't ever, ever, ever make this foolish and very dangerous mistake to say when he comes back, he will not be a Nabi. Because you're going to have a terrible state in Judgment Day when you have to defend that ridiculously false and dangerous statement. No, he is a Nabi and he will always be a Nabi at all times. So, when he comes back, he is a Nabi. And although he is not coming to this Ummah, no, because we follow a Sharia, which is from the Quran. He has to provide guidance to us when we turn to him for guidance. So he has to know the Quran. That's why Allah teaches him the Quran. And then Allah gives him wisdom. Why wisdom? Why wisdom? What does he need wisdom for in this context? Because of what follows. Allah not only teaches him the Quran and gives him wisdom, but after that, Allah teaches him the Torah and the Injil. You begin with the Quran, and then you go to the Torah and the Injil, because the Quran comments on the Torah and the Injil. You cannot study the Quran and the Injil at the end of history without the Quran. That is why, having taught him the Quran, Allah now teaches him the Torah and the Injil with what is also located in the Quran. Why would Allah teach him the Torah and the Injil when he comes back? If you say, this is now cancelled and abrogated, and there's only one Sharia left in the world, and only one Ummah, and all of mankind have to enter into this Ummah. No one can follow Torah and Injil. Already, you're making it even more dangerous for you on Judgment Day with such reckless statement worthy of schoolboys. No? لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا ولكن ليبلوكم فيما آتاكم فاتسبقوا الخيرات إلى الله مرجعكم جميعا. This ayah إلى آخر الآية is plain and clear. This ummah remains until Judgment Day. This ummah is not cancelled, it's not abrogated. And so this verse of the Quran makes it plain and clear that when Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns, he returns to play a role between his ummah and the ummah of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Because we will be coming to him, he is a Nabi. No one can change that. And Allah has taught him the Quran. So matters wherein we differ, we need guidance from him, we go to him. But who is our Nabi? Our Nabi is Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the consequence now of a follower of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam saying, no, I'm also a follower of Nabi Isa alayhi salam? This is what we now have since I started teaching this subject. Why are they saying that we are the followers of Nabi Isa alayhi salam? They're not saying we believe in him. They're saying Maulana. They're saying we are his followers. The reason for that is because when the crucifixion was about to take place, Nabi Isa alayhi salam did not know what's going to happen. And it was at that time that Allah spoke to him, and the conversation is recorded in the Quran. And in that conversation, Allah says, وَرَافِعُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that I'm going to raise those who follow you, raise them above those who are committing kufr against you. And when I do that, they will remain in that position of dominance until the end of the world. So now these people, because they believe, no, the ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, we must be the rulers of the world. Where did they get that from? I don't know. They now want to say, no, we are the ones who are following him. Have you asked him whether he will accept you? When you declare you are following him, have you asked him whether he can accept you as his followers? Have you not thought about the fact that when he came down with his hands resting on the wings of two angels in the masjid in Damascus, the imam who will be the leader of this ummah in akhiru zaman, Imam al-Mahdi recognized him. This is Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. And the Imam very correctly and lovingly and respectfully invited him to lead the Salat, which is the proper thing to do, because this is a Nabi and I am only an Imam. And an Imam and a Nabi cannot be in equal status, no. What did he do when he was invited to lead the Salat? The answer is, he declined to lead the Salat. He said, the people have appointed you as their Imam, you must lead the Salat. Why did he do that? The reason why he did that is because if he had accepted the invitation and he had led the Salat, he would immediately have become the Amir al-Mu'mineen of the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And we would all then have been obliged to follow him. This is our Nabi now. But Allah did not send him to us. Allah sent him to Banu Israel. If I'm wrong, correct me. Give me the proof from the Quran. They can't do that. If he had accepted the invitation, then he would have been in conflict with Allah has given him in the Quran. Allah did not send him to us. Allah sent him to Banu Israel. And that is why he declined the invitation to lead the Salat. Those who say that because the Imam led him in the Salat, it signifies that the Imam has a higher status than the Nabi. Excuse me, these are schoolboys. Yes, these are schoolboys. Imam does not have the status of the Nabi. Go back to school. It is pathetic, really, that we have to listen to this kind of misguided statement. The Imam led him in the Salat because he declined to lead the Salat. And the reason why he declined to lead the Salat, I have just explained to you. And so, if there are members of this Ummah who now declare, because of this verse of Surah to Ali Imran, that Allah is going to raise those who follow him. Who? Jesus, the son of Mary, alayhi salam. Allah is going to raise those people who today are called An-Nasara, or Christians. Allah is going to raise them above those who have been committing kufr against him, who reject him, that is the Jews, and those who are in alliance with the Jews, and today they are the most powerful force in the world. It's a Judeo-Christian Zionist alliance today which controls power in the world. And Allah is going to raise these who follow Jesus, Nabi Isa, above and dominant over them, indicating that these are going to become the dominant force in the world. There'll be no force in the world more powerful than them. So the schoolboys are now here, and so they say, no, we are followers of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. My first response to them is, if you declare as a Nabi, as a follower of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, if you make this declaration that you are also a follower of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, I don't make that declaration. I say I believe in him, but I don't say I follow him. Then when you are in the grave, the angel will ask, who is your Nabi? You and I who are in this masjid, Masjid Umm Kulsum, we have no problem, because we will all say our Nabi is Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Full stop. But when you give the answer, my Nabi is Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and I am also a follower of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, I therefore belong to two ummas. Since I belong to two ummas, I have two sharias. I have two minhaj. I have two qiblas. what a pathetic state they will face on Judgment Day. But in addition to this, he will not accept you to follow him, because he'll say to you, you want to follow me, but I don't have the authority to be your Nabi. Allah didn't send me to you. Allah did not send me to you. Allah sent me to them. So how can you follow me? How can you be my followers? Where has knowledge gone? That they run around scurrying for anything they could find to support their false belief that the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is going to rule the world at the end of history, and that all of mankind have to enter into this Ummah. There's only one Ummah. Allah says, I did not create you as one ummah. But they say, no, we are making you one ummah. Iqbal was very correct. Dr. Muhammad Iqbal, he said, this ummah has stopped thinking for 500 years now. Now then, when Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns, he comes to his people, Banu Israel. But when they saw him die before their very eyes, crucified, remember Allah says, فَآمَنَ الطَّائِفَةُ مِن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَكَفَرَ الطَّائِفَةُ. Part of the Israelite people believed in him and part rejected him. That part which rejected him now are no longer called Banu Israel, they're called the Jews and Nasara. Al-Yahud, my apologies. And Allah punishes them. He expels them from the Holy Land. He destroys Jerusalem. And He places a ban on them that they can never return to reclaim Jerusalem as their own until Gog and Magog are released. And Gog and Magog spread all over the world and take control of the world. And now you know, it is modern Western civilization which has brought them back to the Holy Land. So we came to the conclusion that Gog and Magog are located in the West. Imagine my surprise. I'm flying to Nairobi on a Kenyan airline flight. And during the long flight, I started chatting with one of the people on board. And he's a Kenyan and he's Christian. And while chatting with him, speaking about the modern West, he says, they are Gog and Magog. I said, where did you get that knowledge from? I'm astonished. I say, I have difficulty even teaching my own people this. Where did you get that knowledge from? I'm astonished. He said, it's in the Bible. And he is correct. That Christian, that Kenyan Christian is correct. And most of our scholars of Islam don't understand that as yet. That Gog and Magog are located in modern Western civilization. So, they will return to the Holy Land only when Allah brings them back to Gog and Magog. And they'll be brought back to be punished. But what about the other side? The ones who were crying when they saw him crucified. If you and I were there, we would also be convinced he was crucified. Yes, I would have been convinced. Why? Because Allah says, وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. Allah made it appear like that. So we would all have been convinced that he was crucified. So they are weeping. So why should Allah punish these people as well? He does not. He does not. He says about these people that in the end time, when the Jews become the most hostile people of all to you, and another people of shirk, there will be a Christian people who will be closest in love and affection for you. He never said that they're going to give up Christianity and take the Shahada and become Muslim and join this Ummah. No. They are a Christian people and they are proud of being Christian. They declare, Inna Nasara, we are Christians. And you want to change that? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ كِسِّسِينَ وَرُهْبَانَ. The reason why these Christian people become closest in love and affection to us in this ummah is because they have the institution of the priesthood still intact, and also monasticism and the monastic way of life. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ, and they are not an arrogant people. And so these people are drawing closer to you and displaying the greatest love and affection for you, and you are saying, no, you have to give up Christianity. You cannot call yourself Nasara. You've got to take the Shahada and come in this Ummah. What stupidity. What utter nonsense. Flying in the face of the Quran. These are the people who are going to be closest in love and affection for us. But they're not joining in this Ummah. So that does not mean that they don't have any Islam in them. These are people who say Islam came in the world only when Nabi Muhammad came, alayhi salatu wasalam. And there is no Islam in the world today except in this Ummah. We have a monopoly of truth. No wonder so many amongst mankind hate Muslims, because we believe we have a monopoly of truth. Nobody else has truth in the world except us. No, what you can say is only in the Quran will you find absolute truth. That you can say. Only in the Quran you will find absolute truth. And tomorrow there will be Christians who will accept the Quran. Oh yes. They will accept the Quran as the word of Allah, and they still remain Christians. They will accept Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam as a prophet, but they still remain followers of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Well, these schoolboys can't understand that. And so when Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns, he returns to restore the holy state in Jerusalem, the one that was established by Nabi Dawood alayhi salam and Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. And if that holy state cannot be restored, then he will establish a holy state, a khilafah state, because of the dua of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. He will restore a khilafah state in Jerusalem, and he will rule the world. And therefore his followers will rule the world from Jerusalem. Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said that when Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns, he will return as Al-Hakim Al-Adil, the one who will rule, and who will rule with justice. So then what is the function of this Ummah? The Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Since he will not be our Amir al-Mu'mineen, because he's not leading the Salat, we need an Amir. And this is why Allah raises an Imam who will now restore the Khilafah state for this Ummah. And he will be our Amir al-Mu'mineen. Not only that, but he will live for only a few years and then he'll die, while Nabi Isa alayhi salam will keep on living. So when the Imam dies, what do we do? Answer, we will appoint another Amir. That's what we'll do. So we will always have our Amir leading this Khalifa state, Khilafah state, and he will have that Khilafah state. And so there will be that Ummah and this Ummah. And the schoolboy says, no, there cannot be two Ummahs. There can only be one. And then Allah says to him, but if I wanted to, I could have made you all into one Ummah. If I wanted to, I could have made it one Ummah, but he wants to make it one Ummah. Allah doesn't want one Ummah, but he wants one Ummah. So he's in defiance of Allah, no, defiance of the Quran. This is dangerous. Because Nabi Isa alayhi salam has this Ummah and that Ummah, and there is this Imam and there is this Nabi, you have to be able to manage between both. And that's why Allah says hikmah. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْتَوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. So between this Sharia and that Sharia, and the Nabi has to be able to guide between the two. This is why there is hikmah in between the two. What then is the mission of this Ummah in Akhiru Zaman? The answer is, so long as Gog and Magog are ruling the world, we cannot restore the Khilafah. No, they will not allow us. Now we turn to a hadith which is in Sahih Muslim. And this is what Nabi Muhammad said. Kayfa antum إذا نزل عليكم ابن مريم وإمامكم منكم. How will you be at that time when the son of Mary will descend amongst you, because it's a masjid in Damascus and we are about to perform salat. وإمامكم منكم, and your imam will be from within your own ranks. Your imam is right there with you, indicating that Allah will raise the imam before Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns. How long before? That's a good question. This is my opinion, and of course you should not accept my opinion unless you are convinced it is correct. It is Allah who is going to decide when to send the imam. He will decide. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, even if it is the last day, Allah will lengthen that last day so that the imam could emerge. And he's going to come out of Medina and hurry to Makkah. And he'll do so at the time when a khalifa dies. And for me, the khalifa is any ruler. And the ruler here has to be a Saudi king. A Saudi king will die. And when the Saudi king dies, there are going to be disagreement concerning succession. The script is before us right now. That when Salman dies, of course it's Muhammad bin Salman who's going to succeed him. But this schoolboy and murderer and rash young kid has brought shame and disgrace on Saudi Arabia, and also put Saudi Arabia into a dangerous situation with his foolish war, dangerous war in Yemen, with his ordering the murdering of Adnan Khashoggi and then telling monstrous lies to cover it. And not only that, but he's done a lot of things in Saudi Arabia which has caused members of the Saudi royal family to be very angry with him. And so, I anticipate that as soon as King Salman dies and Muhammad bin Salman takes over, you will see the beginnings of civil war in the Saudi royal family and in the kingdom. How long that civil war will last, I don't know. But it is when that civil war is going on within the family and within the kingdom that the imam will come. So it should not be long again. I hesitate to give a figure how many years, but the civil war could continue for many years because this Muhammad is a young man. The imam will now emerge and come to Mecca. And then the people will force him to accept the bay'ah at the Kaaba. And when that happens, an army will come from Sham to attack him. And the army will be swallowed by the earth. And that's the sign, this is indeed the Imam. And then he will be attacked by an army of the Quraysh, and they will be from the Kalb. Kalb can be the name of a tribe, and Kalb can mean dog. But the tribe of the Kalb no longer exists today, unless somebody goes and try to invent it, build it again. So it appears to me the second meaning is the one applies there. And he will defeat that army. It is when he defeats that army that a Khilafah state will then be restored, not before, in Makkah. So by the time Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns, this ummah would already have restored a Khilafah state in Makkah. This ummah also has the mission of liberating Jerusalem, because our Prophet said, and I quote second hadith now, لَتُقَاتِلُنَّ الْيَهُودِ, you will most certainly fight the Jews, وَلَتَقْتُلُنَّهُمْ, and you will most certainly defeat them, حَتَّى يَقُولُ الْحَجَرَ, at that time even the stones will speak, the rocks will speak, يَا مُسْلِمْ هَذَا يَهُودِيٌ وَرَأِي فَتَعَلَ فَقْتُلْ, these rocks and the stones will speak, O Muslim, there's a Jew hiding behind me, come and kill him, meaning a Jew who is an oppressor. We don't have to go and kill Jews who are not oppressors. No, a Jew who is an oppressor. So this ummah will not only restore a Khilafah state in Makkah, this ummah will also liberate Jerusalem. So the Nabi Isa Islam will now be able to establish a Khilafah state in Jerusalem. But even before that, this ummah has another mission. And I believe it is before Nabi Isa, before Imam al-Mahdi comes. And that is immediately after the Great War takes place, the Malhamah, the next event would be the conquest of Constantinople. And that is the time mankind will see this ummah rising up again. At this time we are dormant. Governments control us. But once the Great War takes place, no government can stand in the way. No armed force can stand in the way. Because our Prophet has prophesied. He prophesied that we will conquer Constantinople. And he praised the army, and he praised the commander. I want to stop here now. I have given you an idea of what is the mission of this ummah in Akhiru Zaman. But that is the ummah which will rule the world, and Nabi Isa alayhi salam will rule the world. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مُولَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ آمين. How much time we have for Azan? Another? 10 minutes?
10 more minutes.
Okay, fine. We have enough time for questions. That clock's... I was looking at that clock. 10 minutes, okay. Any questions or any comments? We have some time, alhamdulillah. Yeah.
There is a hadith which is believed by both Shias and the Sunni about the 12 Imams. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the woman will be ruled by 12 Imams, and the last Imam will be from Makkah.
Okay. The biggest of all matters which divide the Shia from the rest of the world of Islam is the insistence on the part of our Shia brothers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who chose Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to succeed Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. This is his choice. And Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam simply conveyed that information. And that Allah has also ordered, this is his decision, that after Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the leadership of this ummah is confined to Ahlul Bayt. This is the biggest obstacle between the two. Our response to this is, if Allah has ordered something and I reject it, what is my status? Answer, I'm a kafir. Oh yes, there's no doubt about that. The Shia world should wake up. If this is what you say, Allah has ordered this, and Imran Hussein says, I reject that, I am a kafir. So then why is it you do not declare I am a kafir? Is it because of fear that if you declare I am a kafir and I am not, then you become a kafir? They would not do that. They would not say. But there is an inconsistency here, declaring that Allah has ordained it and we reject it, and yet they say we are not kuffar. Our second objection is this, that if something has been ordained by Allah, then it has to be in the Quran, it has to be in that part of the Quran which is muhkam, not mutashabih. Because the mutashabihat, you have to interpret it, and there's no boxing gloves over that. So show us in the Quran where Allah has ordained that the leadership of this ummah is vested by divine decision in Ahlul Bayt. They can't show it. They cannot show it in the Quran. The Quran does not support that view. No. So when you now turn from the Quran to a hadith, the methodology of assessing hadith is that you must first recognize that absolute truth is located only in the Quran. Absolute truth is not located in any tafsir. No. Only in the word of Allah. And therefore, the Quran must sit in judgment over the hadith. Hadith is not absolute truth. Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited recording his words. And for 200 years, we were not allowed to do that. Why? Because he did not want that there should be any confusion that they have a similar status. No. The book of Allah is there. The word of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam does not compare with the word of Allah. No. So now, when you have studied the Quran and you understood what the Quran has said, and you know the methodology for studying the Quran, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعَلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. That you have to study the Quran the way you study the stars, okay? When you have studied the Quran the way the Quran ought to be studied, with that proper methodology, then you turn to the hadith, and when the hadith is in harmony with the Quran, you accept it. When the hadith is in conflict with the Quran, like the Prophet ﷺ married a child, that's what it says, that is in conflict with the Quran. So when a hadith is in conflict with the Quran, you stay with the Quran, not with the hadith. And what about those hadith which are not supported by the Quran, but are not in conflict with the Quran? Does the Quran say anything about 12 Imams? In the Muhkamat, not the Mutashabihat. No, There's no such thing in the Quran. So when you have such hadith, you can accept them but give them a lower status, and you certainly do not pick up boxing gloves over such hadith. I don't have any responsibility to comment on a hadith about 12 imams when it is not supported by the Quran. No. I'm sorry to take so much time. Any more questions? Yeah. You're so close to me and I can't hear.
What is the proper methodology of reciting the Quran?
Oh, reciting the Quran. Yes, I'm writing that book now. It's going to take a long time to explain that. Okay? I'm writing the book now, Methodology for Recitation of the Quran. The Quran and the Moon. This much I can say to you. That our Prophet ﷺ prophesied that in Akhir Zaman time will move faster and faster. And a whole year will pass like a month, and a whole month like a week, and so on. You know the hadith. From the time you have this perception in your heart that time is moving faster and faster, the implication is either you have abandoned the Quran or you're reciting the Quran but not reciting it from cover to cover once a month, or you're reciting the Quran cover to cover once a month but you're not following the proper juz. This is the reason why. If you recite the Quran every day and you recite it cover to cover once a month, and you recite it without chopping the book. You know, you reach the verse 141 in Surah Al-Baqarah, chop. First juz, chop. And then 252 in Al-Baqarah, chop again. If you stop that nonsense, do not chop any surah of the Quran. No, don't do that. Allah has divided the Quran. Quranan faraknahu litakra'u bihi ala nasi ala mukthin. He has already divided the Quran. We cannot go and divide the surah. If you recite the Quran like that, then the heart will once more beat with the system of time that Allah has given. And you no longer have the perception that time is moving faster and faster. So this is the importance of reciting the Quran with the moon. Because if you don't do it, you'll get this perception of time moving faster and faster. Any more questions, or is it time for azan now? One more. It is not for you and for me to identify those whom Allah will identify. All we have to do is to open our eyes and see who are those who are being raised by Allah to a position of dominance over this group, the Jews who rejected him. It is certainly not the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We are under their feet at this time. If you look to see in the world who today has that kind of power, it's very simple. If Russia did not have the power that Russia has today, the United States would have intervened in Venezuela a long, long time ago. The United States has intervened in every single country in South America and Central America, helter-skelter for 200 years. Now, for the first time, the United States does not dare to intervene in Venezuela. Why? Because Russia is returning to Christianity from communism and atheism. The Soviet Union is gone. And that Russia today has been blessed by Allah to achieve this position of military dominance now, that if the United States were to intervene, they'd be defeated. The Russian president has declared, and this is not a man who boasts, he says, we can destroy the whole of the United States in half an hour. Do we have that kind of power? This Ummah? He says, we can destroy the whole of the United States of America in half an hour. No Muslim country has that power. Okay? So my opinion is that it is that part of the Christian world which is following Nabi Isa alayhi salam, or attempting to follow, against that part of the Christian world which I see is following Santa Claus. That is the Western Christian world. And my friend on the aircraft while I was coming to Mombasa, the Christian, Kenyan, he said to me, I assure you that most Christians in Africa, they don't follow Santa Claus. So I said, that's good news. Yes.
When Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns, he will be having his followers. So at that time when they die, they will be asked the same question in the grave.
Everyone, even George Bush, everyone will be asked that question in the
grave. So his
followers. Everyone will be asked the question in the grave. Who is your prophet? Who is your prophet? Who is your Nabi? Okay? And we know our answer. They have to know what is their answer. I can't tell you what is their answer. Our answer is that we follow one man, Nabi Muhammad. Nobody else, only him. That's our answer. Okay? Yeah.
Question is that
first time you're asking a question. Second? Okay, go ahead.
As a Muslim, how did we end up with these signs of the moon and the star in our mosque?
Oh. There are others who have more knowledge of that subject than me, who have studied that subject. On the subject of symbols, symbolism. And they have preached this to the Ottoman Empire. It is the Ottomans who began this, and it has pagan origins. Yeah. Yeah.
The world as it is today, we are going to be Muslim. And all the world is the last prophet.
Every single human being is born as a Muslim. Everyone. Yeah. Allah has raised him, yes. But Rafa'ahu Allah ilayhi.
And it says that he will come back.
The Quran does not state explicitly that he will come back. It is mutashabiha. The Quran says that he did not experience maut. And the Quran says that every soul must experience maut. Therefore, he has to come back.
So all the Muslims, whether Christianity, Jews, Hindu, everyone, today's world is Ummah Muhammad. They either follow the Quran to be Muslim, or then they reject it.
The word Gentile is not in our vocabulary. The word Gentile is the Jew. You are either a Jew or a Gentile. In our vocabulary, Allah says, whoever has faith in Allah and in the last day, مَنَ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا Once you have faith in Allah as the Supreme God, and you have faith in a life hereafter, and you are righteous in conduct, Allah says, you will receive your reward, and reward is not in Jahannam. So this is a message to all of mankind. Hold on to one God, Supreme God, one Supreme God. Belief in the hereafter, not like modern Western civilization, they don't believe in hereafter. And be righteous in your conduct, and Allah says your reward is with you. Everybody, all of mankind. Yeah. This is one mistake we must not make. If Allah appoints someone as a Nabi, you cannot remove him. You cannot remove him. Only Allah can remove him from that position. Nobody. This is called nasakh, mansukh. And nowhere in the Quran has Allah said that I've removed him as a Nabi. No. So do not use your own opinion to declare Nabi Isa alayhi salam, when he comes back, is no longer going to be a Nabi. That is a very, very, very dangerous step you're taking. And on Judgment Day, you're going to pay a price for it. Okay, we have no more questions.
Yeah, one more. The Ottoman Empire has a long history in Islam and in the world. What happened that suddenly, were they on the right track or were they on the wrong track that the Ottoman Empire just collapsed?
Let me give you two events in history. Two. Allah has stated in the Quran, if the enemy inclines to peace, you can't wage war. You must also incline to peace. That's a plain and clear command in the Quran. The Orthodox Christian Patriarch of Constantinople did not want war, because Constantinople was surrounded and he only had about 8,000 or 9,000 men. That's all. And the Ottomans had 200,000 men surrounding the city. And he is saying, I don't want war, I'm prepared to pay you a tribute. The Ottoman Sultan Muhammad Fatih took the Quran and put it away and waged war in conflict, in defiance of the Quran. This is something shameful and disgraceful and sinful. Number two, the first thing that he did when he conquered Constantinople was again to violate Allah's command in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran that this ummah has an obligation to fight, to protect that cathedral. وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْدَهُمْ بِبَعْدٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعٌ وَصَّلَوَاتٌ وَمَسَاجِدٌ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. He mentioned synagogue, he mentioned church, he mentioned cathedrals. And instead of preserving and protecting the cathedral of Hagia Sophia, he converted it to a masjid, to the eternal shame and disgrace of this ummah. This is the Ottoman Empire. So whatever good they did, we say yes. Even Donald Trump does good things sometimes, okay? If Shaitan speaks the truth, would we not say he's speaking the truth? Even though he's Shaitan? Yes. So if the Ottoman Empire did good things, we say yes, they're good. They did good things. But when they did evil things, shameful thing, we have to condemn them for it. Okay, someone is performing salat. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya mawlana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma antas salam wa minkas salam tabarak rabbana wa bika dzal jalali wal ikram. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilaykal masir. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayrika Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ala ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.